Coming up on Locked On Dodgers, we're going to celebrate Chase Utley's birthday by picking our all-time, oh yeah, that guy was a Dodger team. And then I'm going to open up some baseball cards, some old baseball cards, live on the podcast just for fun. So let's get Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Dodger fans. I am Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential, and this is Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Vince and I were going to do a split episode today, but I think I probably have enough to fill up the whole thing. Vince is seeing the new Spider-Man movie, one of those comic book movies tonight, and so I think I'm going to give him a little early Christmas present by surprising him when he gets out of his movie by saying, hey, you don't have to record half an episode or anything. So that's the plan for today. I want to thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. Remember, this show is free and available on all podcast platforms and on YouTube simply by searching for Locked On Dodgers. This is the daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. And like I said, today is Chase Utley's birthday. He turns 43 today. Chase Utley's birthday is always a hard day for me because it reminds me how old I am. Because my little brother will be 43 in 3 days. And so he's basically the exact same age as Chase Utley. Now, Chase Utley's been retired for 3 years. And he spent the last 5 years or so of his career being called an old man. Which means for the last 8 years, this guy, who is the age of my younger brother, has been an old man. So I guess that makes me a super-duper old man, in case we didn't already know that. But to celebrate Chase Utley's birthday, I started thinking about guys who fit the Chase Utley mold of guys who were excellent players but played the bulk of their careers with teams other than the Dodgers, and it's almost an afterthought. You know, we have a lot of love for Chase Utley. He's still in the organization. But overall, I mean, Chase Utley, if and when he's elected to the Hall of Fame, he's going to have a Phillies hat on his plaque. You know, and that's kind of, you know, not everybody I'm picking on this team is going to be a Hall of Famer. A lot of them are. And none of them would show up in the Hall of Fame with Dodgers on their hat. But they did play for the Dodgers. So that was kind of my criteria there. And so at first I was just going to pick a lineup, but I ended up doing a whole 26-man roster. And I need you to know up front, this roster is heavily weighted towards offense. The defense, it wouldn't be bad defense. In fact, it would be very good defense in a lot of ways, but there's not a lot of depth. For example, there's, you know, not a lot of backups at some of the important defensive positions and whatnot. There's, you know, four or five guys on this roster who were probably mostly DHs in their career. But, you know, they also played some first base. And so, and I am using the DH. I'm assuming that Major League Baseball is going to implement the universal DH. And so I am too. So we're going to have a 26-man roster. Let's just jump in. I'm going to start with the pitching staff. I went with a 10-man pitching staff, not this traditional current 13-man pitching staff. I went with a 10-man and maybe even a 6-man rotation. And so we're talking 6-man rotation and just 4 relievers. And so, but you know, if these guys, you'll hear the names, you'll be like, oh yeah, if he's only going once every 6 games, he can easily go 7 or 8. And, you know, 4 relievers should be plenty. So let's start with the pitching staff. My starting pitchers, Greg Maddux, obviously, had 2 different stints with the Dodgers, but is, you know, definitely most well known for Braves and Cubs. But you know, easy first pick as my first starting pitcher, and a close number 2, Pedro Martinez, started his career with the Dodgers. As we all know, the reason that Dodger fans of a certain age still curse the name of Delino DeShields, even though at the time it wasn't a terrible trade. We hope that we don't, end up cursing the name of, you know, Max Scherzer if Josiah Gray turns into the next Pedro Martinez or whatever. You know, that's always the risk when you're trading prospects, but, a 1-2 punch of Maddux and Pedro Martinez is pretty darn good. Now, my third starter is a guy whose name I just said, Max Scherzer. You know, he came over, he pitched, 13 games for the Dodgers. He's now signed with the Mets, and so he's going to go into the Hall of Fame at some point, probably with a Nationals hat on, I guess. Definitely won't be a Dodger hat, though. But we had some good moments with Scherzer, and, you know, when we're taking his overall body of work as a pitcher, yeah, he's an easy number 3 starter there. Then I'm going with Juan Marichal. Pitched almost his entire career with the Giants. Came over to the Dodgers at the very end, which is a really interesting move, specifically with Juan Marichal, because his most infamous moment in baseball was when he attacked Johnny Roseborough, the Dodgers catcher, with a bat. It actually kept Marichal out of the Hall of Fame for a while. He was a deserving Hall of Famer, and the voters wouldn't vote for him until Johnny Roseborough kind of went to bat for him and said, look, it's time to let bygones be bygones and move on and put him in the Hall of Fame. So Marichal is your number four starter. That's a pretty good rotation. Numbers five and six, I'm going with Jim Bunning and Rick Sutcliffe. Jim Bunning is, Hall of Fame pitcher, pitched with the Dodgers at the very end of his career. Rick Sutcliffe, not a Hall of Famer, but a very good starting pitcher, a Cy Young Award winner in 1984, and actually started his career with the Dodgers, won the Rookie of the Year Award in 1979 with the Dodgers, I believe. Played a couple seasons with the Dodgers and then got traded. I feel like as your sixth starter, if your sixth starter is Rick Sutcliffe, your rotation is in pretty good shape. And so, like I said, with those six starters, you're probably expecting at least two or three complete games each time through the rotation. And so you're going to be okay with just four relievers. And I went with Jesse Orozco and John Candelaria, who are about basically the same person in my mind. I know they're different people. I can even, if you showed me pictures of both, I'd know which was which. But they're both left-handed relievers who didn't spend much of their careers with the Dodgers, but did. Candelaria actually started a lot in his career, but by the time he was a Dodger, he was a reliever. Both really good left-handed pitchers. Then Todd Worrell, who was a great closer with the Cardinals, ended up coming over to the Dodgers and was a solid closer for them for a little bit. And then Hoyt Wilhelm, who is a Hall of Famer and pitched a long time, and a little bit of that time was with the Dodgers. And so I feel like a bullpen of Wilhelm, Worrell, Candelaria, and Orozco behind a rotation of Maddux, Pedro, Scherzer, Marichal, Bunning, and Sutcliffe. You know, as far as 10-man, and in my perfect world, every team would have a 10-man pitching staff. That's how baseball would be. I think that would fix a lot of things with offense and pace of play and all of that. But nobody asked me because hashtag Jeff for commissioner hasn't happened yet. In my perfect world, if my perfect world is a 10-man pitching rotation, I figure out how to do that in this fun little exercise. So that's my 10-man pitching staff, and I'm going to come back in a minute. I'm going to talk to you about the 16 position players on my roster. I want to thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. We really appreciate it, and keep it Locked On Dodgers. Hey, Built Bar. I've told you about Built Bar. It's delicious. Have you tried it yet? I'm asking. Answer the question, yes or no. No? Come on. Go to Built.com, look at all the flavors, and recognize the fact that they're all covered in chocolate, and they're all delicious. I know you're eating a lot of delicious food right now. Christmas time is a time to eat a lot of good food. Throw some Built Bars into that mix, because those are the ones you can keep eating in January without feeling guilty. December is a great time to eat a bunch of crap. January, you're going to want to start eating healthy, and Built Bar is the way to do that, because they are low sugar, low carb, low fat, high protein. Everything you want to be low is low. Everything you want to be high is high. And they are delicious. I have my favorites. The coconut brownie chunk is delicious. The cookie dough chunk is delicious. The grasshopper one, real good. So they have a ton of different flavors. Go look at their flavors. You're going to find something you like. If you go to Built.com and use promo code LOCKED15, you will get 15% off your next order. That's LOCKED15 at Built.com for 15% off. All right, I'm back, and it's time to pick our position players for this little exercise we're doing. I'm going to start at second base just because the reason we're doing this is Chase Utley's birthday, and Chase Utley is my starting second baseman. Now I'll go around. My starting catcher, I had a hard time here. I'll tell you, my two catchers on the roster are Gary Carter and Mike Piazza. Now, Piazza is almost an asterisk on this because Piazza was very, very good for the Dodgers. He's rookie of the year. He was a multiple time all-star. He was, one of the best hitters in baseball. And the only reason he didn't play his whole career with the Dodgers is because of ownership issues. So he almost doesn't count, but the fact is Mike Piazza is in the Hall of Fame and he's not wearing a Dodger hat. And so he meets the criteria. And so while he's recent enough that a lot of us remember him as a Dodger, but he's one of my catchers. Gary Carter is the other. And it's probably going to be a straight up platoon, I don't know. Put I'd say put Piazza at DH some days, but you're going to see we're going to have a bunch of DHs on this roster. One of the big challenges of this, besides not having, you know, a focus on defense, is finding at bats for all these guys, because there's going to be a lot of guys thinking, man, I'm in the Hall of Fame and I'm the third string first baseman or whatever. But, you know, that's the nature of these fantasy teams that you put together. So let's put Mike Piazza as a starter, Gary Carter as the backup catcher. First base. I've got three first basemen on the roster. I think Albert Pujols is my starter. Now, you got to remember, this is not the Albert Pujols that we saw playing for the Dodgers. All of these guys, we're looking at their whole careers, and oh yeah, they happen to play for the Dodgers. And Albert Pujols is one of the best first basemen in baseball history, defensively and offensively. You know, obviously defense, he was a very good defensive first baseman, which paired with being one of the best right-handed hitters of baseball history, that's super valuable at first base. So Albert Pujols is my starter. The two guys behind him, I've got Eddie Murray and Fred McGriff. Murray, almost not quite to Piazza level, but Murray actually led the major leagues in batting average as a Dodger. So he was very good with the Dodgers. I hope Eric Steven is listening to this, because he gets emotional thinking about Eddie Murray leading the major leagues in batting average. If you're not familiar with that story, Eddie Murray led the major leagues in average, but he didn't win the batting title. Because I think it was 1990. Murray played the whole season with the Dodgers, led the majors in batting average, batted like 331, 335, something like that. I could have pulled it up, but I didn't. I don't know why. Willie McGee for the Cardinals was leading the National League in batting average, had a better batting average than Murray ended up with. And then he got traded late in the season to the A's. But because he switched leagues, the way the rules work is his National League stats are separate from his American League stats. And because it was late enough in the season that McGee already had enough plate appearances with the Cardinals to qualify for the batting title, so his National League batting average was set in stone at that point. He went to the A's. He didn't do as well with the A's. His overall batting average dropped. But his National League batting average was set in stone. So he won the National League batting title because his National League batting average was better than Eddie Murray's. But his overall batting average was lower than Murray's. So Murray literally led the major leagues, had the best batting average in Major League Baseball, and did not win a batting title. Eric Steven, he's from True Blue LA. You probably follow Eric Steven on Twitter if you're on Dodgers Twitter. He gets very emotional about that. He was a big Eddie Murray fan. And then Fred McGriff is my other one. McGriff, not quite in the Hall of Fame yet. I would put him in. I think I've mentioned a few times the last few weeks that I am more and more of a big haul guy. McGriff hit 493 homers in his career and did it at a time when the steroid era was just kind of coming into play. And so numbers that looked really impressive at the time ended up in retrospect not being as impressive. But Fred McGriff, he's a Hall of Famer in my book, and he is my third string first baseman. It's hard. I guess Albert Pujols did play other positions earlier in his career, so he could maybe play some outfield for me if necessary, if we're talking about peak Pujols. Eddie Murray and Fred McGriff are basically just first basemen. Utley was my starting second baseman. My backup second baseman is Willie Randolph. Willie Randolph, very underappreciated, borderline Hall of Famer, most well-known with the Yankees, also played with the Pirates, and then came to the Dodgers later in his career. I think it went to the Mets and the A's after that. But yeah, Randolph was a very good player, and you can't do much better as a backup second baseman than Willie Randolph. Third baseman, I've got two. My starting third baseman, this one definitely does fall in the Piazza category of almost needing an asterisk, and that's Adrian Beltre. But you know, he did lead the league in home runs as a Dodger. He was very good, but he really came into his own later in his career. He'll probably be wearing a Texas Rangers hat when he goes into the Hall of Fame, not a Dodger hat, so he qualifies for this. He'd be my starting third baseman with future probably Hall of Famer Ken Boyer as the backup third baseman. Boyer with the Cardinals was outstanding and should be in the Hall of Fame already. When I talked to Adam Dorowski a couple weeks ago about the veterans committees for the Hall of Fame voting, Ken Boyer's name, we talked about him. So you've heard me talk all about him. Shortstop was an interesting one. I'm going with Nomar Garciaparra as my starting shortstop. He was not a shortstop with the Dodgers, at least not very much. By the time he came to the Dodgers, he was well past his shortstop stage. But at his peak with the Red Sox, Nomar Garciaparra, I mentioned him last week when I was talking about guys I would put in the Hall of Fame if I could. Nomar was so good when he was healthy. Yeah, and so famous. You know, he came up with Jeter and A-Rod at the same time, and Nomar was probably the best of the three when he was healthy. So he's an easy pick for my starting shortstop. My backup shortstop is Jimmy Rollins, who with the Dodgers was not very good at all, but with the Phillies, he was very good. He won an MVP award with the Phillies. He probably didn't deserve it. Both, I think when he and Ryan Howard both won their MVP awards, I think Chase Utley, their fellow infielder, was better than both of them in both of those seasons. But Jimmy Rollins, very good player for a long time, just not when he was with the Dodgers. Now we move to the outfield. Left field, easy. Rickey Henderson. Rickey Henderson played with almost every team in baseball. That includes the Dodgers. He was 40-ish when he played for the Dodgers and wasn't at his peak anymore. But Rickey Henderson, one of the best players in baseball history, easy pick for my starting left fielder. Center fielder is a little bit harder emotionally. I picked Andrew Jones. Andrew Jones should be in the Hall of Fame, will eventually be in the Hall of Fame, and is legitimately one of the best center fielders in baseball history. I don't like Andrew Jones at all. Andrew Jones was my least favorite player in baseball, even before he came to the Dodgers and was terrible. Andrew Jones played for the Braves, who at the time were my least favorite team in baseball. I know the Giants are the Dodgers' big rival. I'm supposed to say the Giants are my least favorite team. But as a teenager, you know, I was 14 in 1991. I grew up watching games on TBS in the late 80s, and there was nobody at the stadium. The team was terrible. The fans were terrible. And the broadcasters were terrible. But it was baseball, so I watched it. And then 1991, the Braves get good, and suddenly everybody's a Braves fan. And it just drove me crazy. And then Andrew Jones came in a few years later and was part of that team. Like, and I just... my dislike for the Braves started in 1991 when they beat out the Dodgers for the National League West division title. Dave Justice, couldn't stand him. Chipper Jones came along eventually. I couldn't stand him. Andrew Jones came along. Couldn't stand him. Andrew Jones was probably my least favorite of all of them. And then he comes to the Dodgers. And I was like, okay, fine. At least he's good. And then he was terrible. Terrible, terrible, terrible with the Dodgers. Went on to the White Sox and the Yankees, was better for them. Really, the only team he was terrible for was the Dodgers. But overall, he's a Hall of Fame center fielder, so he's a pretty easy pick for my center fielder on this team. Right field, I'm going with Frank Robinson. Frank Robinson, Hall of Famer, only player to win the MVP in both leagues. I think he still is the only one. I know he's the first one. Won it with the Reds and the Orioles. Won a Triple Crown, I think. Just outstanding. 583 career homers, I think. A lot of numbers I could have looked up, but I didn't. But somewhere in that ballpark anyway, 583 or 586 sounds familiar to me. But just outstanding player. He was the first black manager in the major leagues, so I didn't pick a manager for this. Robinson, he never managed the Dodgers, and that's the problem. The Dodgers don't have a lot of, I guess Joe Torre could be that the manager of this team if I went that with that. But Frank Robinson, outstanding hitter, one of the best hitters in baseball history. Great right fielder on this team. And then I've got two DHs, Jim Thome and Bobby Abreu. I could have put Dick Allen on there. I also could have gone with Manny Machado as a shortstop. A lot of different, or a third baseman, I guess. A lot of different options, but I went Jim Thome and Bobby Abreu. Thome, obviously the power, he's already in the Hall of Fame. Abreu actually played some outfield, so he could, you know, spell somebody in the outfield if he had to. Later in his career, he was mostly a DH, but also he was a very good base runner, took a lot of walks, great on-base percentage, ran fast, and had a lot of power. So Bobby Abreu is my second DH, and that's my 26-man roster. For the rundown again, Gary Carter, Mike Piazza, Albert Pujols, Eddie Murray, Fred McGriff, Chase Utley, Willie Randolph, Adrian Beltre, Ken Boyer, Jimmy Rollins, Nomar Garciaparra, Rickey Henderson, Andrew Jones, Frank Robinson, Jim Thome, Bobby Abreu, Greg Maddux, Pedro Martinez, Max Scherzer, Juan Marichal, Jim Bunning, Rick Sutcliffe, Hoyt Wilhelm, Todd Worrell, John Candelaria, and Jesse Orozco. That is my 26-man roster, and I think we could win a few games with that team. So I'm going to come back in a minute. I'm going to open up some baseball cards on camera because I just bought some boxes of some old baseball cards, some of my favorite sets. And I'm just going to go ahead and open those and just talk about who I get. And, we'll see if there's any Dodgers in there. We'll see what I get. It's going to be news to me like it's news to you. And it should be fun. So keep it locked on, Dodgers. BetOnline has you covered all season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before as football season continues the march to the playoffs. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the sports action this season. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, I'm back, and I want to thank you one more time for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. We really appreciate it. We love talking Dodgers with you. We hope you love listening to us talk Dodgers. And now that I've mentioned a bunch of guys who technically were Dodgers, but you don't necessarily think of as Dodgers, I'm going to open up some baseball cards. I'll do one pack. We'll see how long that takes. I don't want to waste too much of your time here. Not waste of time. It's never a waste of time to listen to me talking about baseball. But you know what I mean. So the pack I'm opening is 1987 Tops. And it's my favorite set. Maybe my favorite set. 84 Tops was the first set I really, when I started collecting baseball cards. So 84 Tops has a special place in my heart. But these 87 Tops, my brother and I call them the Woody set. It's the ones with the wooden, wood looking border. You'll see, I just realized I'm recording this in a way that I can't see the video. So, hopefully I'm good enough to, show these cards so that you can see them on the camera, but, we'll see. So I'm opening up the pack right here. One of the great things about 1987 baseball cards is you've got 34-year-old gum. I am not going to eat this because 34-year-old gum, for the first 2 seconds, it tastes like nostalgia and your childhood, and then it dissolves in your mouth, and it tastes like Satan vomited in your mouth. And that's not an experience I want to have. I actually have another piece right here from a pack I opened the other day from 1981 Donruss. So this one's even 6 years older. Actually translucent a little bit. Ew. So we're not going to do that, but I'm going to flip these cards over so they're all face up, and then we are going to see what we got. Our first one. Blue Jays manager, Jimmy Williams. Not much to say about Jimmy Williams, except Jimmy with one M. You don't see that very often. Good enough, though. Vaughn Hayes, Phillies first baseman mostly. Vaughn Hayes, if I remember right, a lot of girls thought he was good looking. I can't tell on this picture, but I think he was one of those dreamboat kind of players. Maybe I'm wrong about that. Wayne Tolleson, he's on the Yankees in this picture. I think of Wayne Tolleson as a Ranger more than a Yankee. I don't even have my reading glasses on, but yeah, he did start with the Rangers. Looks like he came over to the Yankees in mid-1985, so just shortly before this. Jose De Leon. Jose De Leon is really interesting. He's not the Jose De Leon that the Dodgers eventually traded for Logan Forsythe. Different Jose De Leon. And Jose De Leon, two different times in his career, he had to be removed from his team's starting rotation because he was about to lose 20 games and they didn't want him to lose 20 games in a season. And so they took him out of the rotation. One of them was 1985. The Pirates did it. And then the White Sox did it probably just a year or two after this. This was his first year with the White Sox, 1986. But yeah, two different times his team had to take him out of the rotation. 1985 with the Pirates, he was 2-19. When they took him out of the rotation for the last couple starts so that he wouldn't get 20 losses. I'm just going to leave my glasses on because then I can see the backs of the cards. Here we have Steve Sachs, our first Dodger. Steve Sachs was my brother's favorite player growing up. My brother was little and fast, just like Steve Sachs was. So my brother wore number 3 all the time. I took a cue from my brother. I thought, well, if his favorite player is going to be the little fast guy, mine should be the big lumbering guy who isn't very good, but tries hard. So my favorite player was Mike Marshall. And I would have worn number 5 like Mike Marshall, except that in Little League, you just get the numbers, that like the sizes go up based on the number. So I was always number 13 or 14, however many numbers there were, because I always had the biggest jersey because I was the biggest kid. So maybe that accounts for some of my longstanding issues. Next card is Ed Romero. I, like everyone else among baseball fans, have nothing to say about Ed Romero. Even the back of Ed Romero's card doesn't say anything about Ed Romero. It just has, on this date, April 20th, 1977, Gary Carter hit 3 consecutive home runs in 1 game. Gary's 1977 Topps card was number 295. So That's interesting about Ed Romero, apparently. Up next, this is one we got some Dodger ties. Jerry Hairston. This is Jerry Hairston Sr. His dad had also played in the, I think he played in the major leagues. I know he played in the Negro leagues, and maybe he never did play in the big leagues. But Jerry Hairston Sr. did, and then his two sons, Jerry Hairston Jr. and Scott Hairston, played in the big leagues. Jerry Hairston Jr. played with the Dodgers, still works with the Dodgers as an announcer at times, and I think hit a home run in an old-timers game. So that's Jerry Hairston. Up next, ooh, this is a card that some people might be pretty excited about. Mike Greenwell. Mike Greenwell was a very good player. This is probably his rookie card. And Mike was voted MVP of his Little League team. That's funny they put it on his card. I bet 80% of Major League players were at one point in time the MVP of their Little League team. This is kind of sad. This is the card that the gum was on. I don't know if you can see the back of the card. It's all splotchy from the gum. And looking at this, you can actually, you may not be able to see, but it actually comes through to the front. That's what happens when you have a piece of gum stuck to you for 34 years, is it will wear through. So this Mike Greenwell rookie card, instead of being worth like a buck, is probably worth like a nickel. So congratulations to Mike Greenwell. Here's a Dodger, not in this picture. This is Candy Maldonado. Candido was his real first name. Candy finds traveling an enjoyable experience. Candy Maldonado played the first 5 years of his career with the Dodgers. This card is from 1986, his first year with the Giants. And he, it was his first time getting a lot of playing time. He got 405 at-bats. His previous career high with the Dodgers was 254. And he had 18 homers in this season, slugged 477. It's so funny to see the stats that they put on here compared to what we have now. But he had 14 game-winning RBIs that year, which were a stat back then. Basically, just meant who drove in the winning run that put them ahead to stay. And Candy Maldonado did that 14 times. He was a pretty decent player for the Dodgers and then for the Giants. Speaking of the Giants, Mike Kruko, who's now one of the Giants announcers, he is affectionately known as the Polish Prince. He and his wife have three children. Played not most, it looks like he played the first 6 years of his career with the Cubs, a year with the Phillies, and then went to the Giants, but now is a Giants announcer. And so he is well-loved in Giants circles. And he's fine to listen to. He's not terrible. Up next, we have Ray Knight. Ray Knight is maybe a moment that you've all seen, is he scored the winning run on the play that the ball that went through Bill Buckner's legs in the 1986 World Series, which was, these 87 cards are from the 86 season. So that was this season. Ray Knight, he was coming near the end of his career at this point. He was how old was he? He was born in 1952, so he was in his mid-30s at this point. And, you know, solid player. He was never a great player. Later was a manager, was married to Nancy Lopez, the professional golfer. That's about all I know about Ray Knight, but I think he still does work for maybe the Nationals broadcasting or studio shows or something. I can't remember which team. I think it's the Nationals, though. Up next, we have Fred Tolliver. I know that Fred Tolliver exists. If you had shown me this card with the name covered, I would have said, that's Fred Tolliver. But that's all I know about Fred Tolliver. Yeah, this was his second, third year in the big leagues, and I don't know how much longer he played other than that he existed. That's all I know about Fred Tolliver. Up next, we have Leon Durham. Leon Durham, good power hitter. Hit, you know, back then, 20 home runs in a season was a big deal. This was his third straight year and fourth in the last 5 years of hitting at least 20 home runs. He is known affectionately as the Bull. He's listed at 6'1", 185, which is how big you had to be back then to be known as the Bull. But I think he was probably actually bigger than that. And he had a cool goatee and cool glasses. I don't know if you can see that, but yeah, Leon Durham. Here's a Dodger, Greg Brock. Greg Brock was a guy who, when I was a kid, he was a top Dodgers prospect, and everybody expected big things from Greg Brock. He never did come through, and he ended up getting traded to the Brewers. Never did meet that potential, but he was kind of my first experience with a prospect not panning out. Up next is Jack Howell, played for the Angels. One thing I remember about Jack Howell, I remember him hitting a check swing home run one time. He was a left-hand hitter, and he shot it down the left field line, but it was a check swing. Really weird, but I wonder if there's video of that somewhere. I remember it happening, but I don't remember many of the details really. But Jack Howell, he was supposed to be kind of the successor to Doug DeSensei as the Angels third baseman. He never really was very good, but he and his wife have one son, Joshua. So that's interesting, I suppose. Two more cards. Dave Gumpert. Dave Gumpert existed. This is one very few. There are not many cards from this era that most of the time, if you hold it up to me with the name covered, I can tell you who it is. Dave Gumpert, I would not have gotten. This card doesn't look familiar to me. I probably own 50 of this card, and yet I don't know that I've ever seen it before. His boyhood hero was Al Kaline. He did grow up in Michigan as a Tigers fan. He lettered in cross country and baseball in high school, was second team All-American as a college senior. So that's Dave Gumpert, a pitcher for the Cubs. Nothing about him. Last one. This is actually a good card to end on. Jim Sundberg. Jim Sundberg was a catcher for a long time. He's on the Royals here. He was best known for his time with the Rangers and Dodgers connection with Jim Sundberg. Back in 1982-ish, the Dodgers and Rangers had actually agreed on a trade for the Rangers to send Jim Sundberg to the Dodgers. And in exchange, they were going to receive a package that included a young minor league pitcher by the name of Oral Hershiser. Lucky for Dodger fans, that trade didn't work out. It ended up getting nixed. Sundberg stayed with the Rangers. Oral stayed in the Dodgers minor leagues. And eventually, as you may or may not recall, ended up being a pretty decent pitcher for the Dodgers. So that's it for that pack. 16 cards, I think, is what they used to put in there. Some Dodger connections there. And you know what? Depending on how long this lockout goes, I've got a lot of cards. I've got 87 Fleer sitting up here too that maybe I'll open a pack of those next time. But that's going to do it for me today. Thank you all for listening. I really appreciate it, or watching, whatever you're doing. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. We really, really appreciate it. For your second listen, go ahead and check out Locked On Bets, hosted by your boy Q, and expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling. It's your daily one-stop shop for all your gambling needs. Locked On Bets. It's free and available on all platforms. If you're not watching or listening to Locked On Dodgers every day, go ahead and add 1 or 2 days a month to your rotation. That would help us out a lot. Tell your friends and family if they love the Dodgers as much as you do. Maybe they'll like the show. And, you know, we would love to have them. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Locked On Dodgers. Vince is on Twitter at Vince Samperio. I'm on Twitter at Snydog. And the DMs are open in all of those places. Our email address is lockedondodgers@gmail.com. And our phone number for voicemails or texts is 323-863-LOCK-5625. We are here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be here with us. When you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree, you just have to listen. We'll talk to you on Monday.